comes the sun and I say it's all right.
Right on radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you to all of you who are here live. Please like and share. I just want to begin with the verse of the day. It is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. Father, make those words real in our lives, Lord. I pray every day, Lord, and it's such a difficult task walking through this world, Lord, but it is only by the power of you, the risen one, that we can do it. And I give you thanks every day for this. Hey, you know what? I played that song and I thank you for your post, Eve, about Here Comes the Sun, but spelt S-O-N. And, you know, the Lord can take anything. And of course, the Beatles were evil. And, you know, it's a typical example of the Tavistock Institute programming that happens in all of our lives. And every day we're bombarded with this stuff, but the Lord can flip it. And when you listen to the song as a Christian and you say, here comes the sun, and what a glorious day that'll be. And also I'm reminded that, you know, it says it's been a long and dreary winter. It has been a long and dreary winter, but I'm also reminded of the verses that pray that your persecution does not come in the winter or on the Sabbath. So, you know, just there's so many things that go through with that. So I just wanted to play that, and also because it's been cloudy here for about 2 weeks, but the sun is coming out, And I just have a couple quick notes that I want to get to before I bring John in. Yes, John is here. He is waiting. John has really become a good friend and a confidant to some degree for me. And he's super intelligent. He is way researched. And I just value his input. I value his friendship. And I'll be bringing him on in a couple minutes. And thank you, Momster. Thank you, Wendy. I'm reminded I wanted to give, last month I gave the statistics for this podcast for the lives that we're doing. In February, we had a record month, of course. March was not a record. We fell a little bit behind, partly because I was off for a week, of course. So that's going to affect the numbers significantly. But I want to read them to you anyways. So downloads in March compared to February were down 21%. Again, I was off a week, so that makes sense. We were down 33% in likes on the live broadcast, and that's, again, very easily explainable. However, we were up 53% in new followers because of these live shows. We have gained 46 new followers on the Podbean app during these lives. And also, we're up 34% versus last month in comments. So March was actually better than February in a couple categories. And that is thanks to your gifts. It's thanks to your likes. It's thanks to your participation, your shares. All those things really are making a difference. And, you know, I'm unable to check while I'm on air and in the studio, but I'm assuming we're going to be in the top 20 podcasts on Podbean right now. And that's out of over 150,000 podcasters on this platform. So praise be to God. Hey, there's a couple things I didn't get to on the show last night. If you were able to catch it on the Solar Reality, I must admit to you, and I'll apologize to some degree, I almost wanted to re-record it. I recorded it Wednesday evening, and I'm not making excuses, I'm just telling you the facts. I wake up between 3 and 4 most mornings. Sometimes I sleep in till 5, that's a good thing. But by the time I recorded it, it was like, you know, evening for me, and my IQ goes down as the hours go by in the day, and so I left out some of the things. I was a little bit low energy. I apologize for that. And there are some things that I missed, and probably some of it was good that I missed on there. But there's a couple of points that I really wanted to make that I should have. And one of them is this thing with NASA and the APEP mission that they're running. And of course, NASA runs these missions almost every solar eclipse. And, you know, for whatever reason, they do these things. They say they're measuring the atmosphere. And there's a lot of people who would say, and I would agree with, they're measuring the atmosphere to see how they can increase their weather weapons against us. You know, probably, like, you know, I don't think they do good things, to tell you the truth. But they named this mission after, you know, this APEP, this ancient deity. And this deity was supposed to be, you know, the enemy of Ra, the sun god, and it was trying to steal the sun and all this stuff. It goes into the Greek mythology and all this crap. And I just want to just share something that I've come to the firm opinion on. You know, there's all these Greek gods and all these names and all these deities, and they're probably named after the Nephilim and stuff like that. There's probably some truth to them, but you know what? These minor demons, they don't even deserve a name. And quite honestly, nothing, there's no demon that's going to put out the sun, okay? God is in control of all that stuff. And all this stuff is to make you think that these small gods have power. And they do have power, but they don't have power over God's creation. They don't have anything unless it is by God's permission. And you know what? I think what it does is when people give it too much attention, it's almost like going against the very first commandment, putting another god before your god, because we shouldn't even give these things the time of day, you know, other than to pray against them and to pray against their evil works, okay? We should not give them the time of day. And a lot of this stuff that's going on around this eclipse and stuff like that, and this is a really important point I think I might have conveyed, but they want to create fear. And there's going to be some people who are just stargazers going out there enjoying it. It's a natural phenomenon. Hallelujah. They get out the date with the day and have a picnic. But there's a lot of people in fear over this stuff, and in fear for many reasons. But fear is a spiritual energy. Fear is not real. I've given my definition out at least 100 times on this broadcast. My definition of fear is failure to confront the future. That's all it is. So let's get it right. Let's not have any fear. The Lord says, do not fear 365 times in the Bible. So you do not fear. We do not give the evil entities this energy that they're trying to draw from us. So I wanted to also make that clear. Now, having said that, there's a couple other things that that didn't come out on the show, and it seems that they're pushing people towards a civil war of some kind. All the signs are out there. And, you know, one of the things is, you know, obviously there's the migrant crisis. There's tens of millions of military-aged men, stuff like that, who have been in the country. And in some states, they've been provided housing and things like that. But their housing, they're being kicked out of because it's not winter anymore. So you're going to have a whole bunch of people out there with nothing. And, you know, desperate people do desperate things. And especially if they're here on the wrong reasons. But yet on the same time, you have the flip side of it where, you know, the migrants, it's been reported this today in Newsweek, or yesterday rather, that, you know, the migrant checks, the ones that are still getting them, they're getting more money than the veterans are. And in fact, a lot of veterans have been kicked out of the veteran housing and they're putting migrants in there. So that is supposed to anger the people, and especially veterans who know how to operate firearms and stuff like that. It's to anger the people. And now the squatter stories is becoming a big, big thing. It's making the mainstream news, where people can go into your house, claim ownership, and the government actually helps them to do it, which is so wrong. Again, this is to infuriate you and to get the people. And, you know, and I'm curious to get John's comments on this when I bring him on in a moment. But it's meant to infuriate you, but yet, what was the words I was looking for? Well, you know what? I'll have to come back to it. I just had a totally out of blank brain collapse there. It'll come back to me. It was an important point. But a couple other things that are happening right now, and this is really interesting. And as you know, I've exposed what I believe the Q plan to be from. It's from Theosophy. Now, whether there's good people working along it in ignorance, who knows? But there's a couple things that have really caught my eye in the last 24 hours. And one of them is this earthquake in Taiwan that has happened. And everyone has seen the picture right now of this one building that's completely tilted sideways. It's like, you know, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but in Taiwan. And it was a massive earthquake, creating lots of destruction, whether it was natural, whether it was man-made, who knows. But there is a Q post that says earthquake on Tuesday, and then it says this weird word, Kongquin. And this guy has this video. Now, I haven't verified this, but this guy has this video, and he shows that building with a street sign in front of it, and it's on Kongquin Street. So I haven't verified that, but I'll tell you, that's awfully weird. And of course, we have Dan Scavino right now posting a picture of he goes, are you ready for the eclipse? And it has Joe Biden in black and white and Trump in color. And there's also a Q post that goes along with it. It's a Delta, I suppose. And it says civil war won't happen. So there's information coming both sides. It's very confusing. And right before I bring John in, I just want to do a little mini poll in the chat here. So I'm requesting your feedback. If you're tired of all this stuff and just want the Lord to come back, put in the chat, come back. Or if you're enjoying what they're calling the show, say, keep it going. Keep it going. Put in the chat. Okay. Well, there's three comebacks. Hey, let me bring in John. I've kept him waiting way too long already. Oh, I hit the button twice. There he is, John from We've Read the Documents. Welcome back to Right On Radio, John.
Hey, Jeff, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me back on Right On Radio, brother. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so what do you think about just the opening commentary this morning? I know that you see things in a very researched way.
I don't disagree with anything you said. I believe that a lot of the events that happen in our world, or at least a lot of the reporting of the events that happen, is targeted. You know, it's psychological, psychographical, which means like your personality targeted specifically to you, and then spiritual warfare, obviously, right? So the clips, like you mentioned, seems that they want to strike fear. They want people to, you know, either if they're Christians, to not trust in the Lord as much as they should, or people who are not Christians, they want to, obviously, is one of Satan's major plans, and the world order too as well, is to keep people from looking to the Lord, right? You know, the loss for them to become born again, right? They want them in a state of constant fear and worry, right? So to me, it seems like that, you know, that's what they're trying to drive with the eclipse. Now, granted, if something happens, you know, during this time period after April 8th or on April 8th, I'm not going to, you know, be afraid. I'm going to trust God, right? I'm going to trust that, you know, we all know that God's ultimately in control, and I'm going to trust in him and trust on him, you know, to for his will to be done and for him hopefully to see me and my family through it, no matter what happens. But they're trying to drive fear. They're trying to drive anger, like you're talking about the migrant crisis. I've talked about how you could see in the QAnon movement, the various players within it, or the various players of the Council for National Policy, pushing dehumanization, pushing the other. You know, we have Jack Posobiec's new book, The Unhumans, trying to make people kind of like stoke anger. You know, you had the Trans Visibility Day, right? Where it was actually signed into law a few years ago by Biden, and it just happened to fall on Easter Sunday this year, but a lot of news media outlets failed to tell people that. And so obviously I believe that transgenderism is a sin. It's part of the LGBTQ+ agenda. But however, though, they wanted to stoke anger out of people. And instead of us showing love that we should show to the transgender community, that they need a savior, just like we need a savior. And, you know, obviously, you know, rebuke, you know, lovingly their sinful behavior, but have them, you know, also minister to them as well, lovingly minister to them, and not show them hate. There's something that, you know, we are called to do, right? But you see a lot of Christians on X vocally angry. And I'm not going to say that I'm not necessarily happy that it fell on on Easter myself, but just to see the anger and the venom, you know, that's what Satan wants. Satan wants the fear. He wants the anger. He wants to stoke that so that we do sin against God as born again believers, right? You know, once we give over to fear, once we give over to anger, you know, that's sinful behavior, unless it's, you know, righteous anger per se. But I don't necessarily think getting on Twitter and cursing and yelling at transgender people is righteous anger. You know what I mean, Jeff? So
No, I totally agree.
It's kind of like a balance, right? And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not getting on a soapbox here and, you know, pointing at everybody and saying, oh, dare, because I mean, I get angry sometimes when I, you know, or even, you know, the flesh gets angry. The flesh gets afraid, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, we're human after all.
Actually, John, I got to say, you do some of the best rants I've ever heard. when you get going, you're brilliant.
I try to anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I totally agree. And this is a psychological operation on both sides. And you had pointed out to me, and I did find it this Jack Posevic, or however you say his name as well, he also tweeted, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's a very close paraphrase, "Are you ready for Satan's victory?" So this guy is showing himself as a lot of people who were apparently in the truther movement are now really showing themselves. And a lot of them showed themselves a couple of years ago by, you know, instantly they got people in thinking they're good Christian boys and, you know, this and that, and they're saying God bless and everything. And now they're all talking ascension and all this crap, right? And thank you, Wendy. God bless you.
Yeah, Jeff, definitely. We saw that, Good Friday, that Jack Posobiec was Franco posting, you know, posting videos and speeches of the Catholic fascist leader, Franco of Spain, who put Protestants to death, you know, and he's posting Viva Christ is King, which is Long Live Christ the King, which the whole Christ the King thing, you know, obviously, as born-again Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, okay? Obviously, yes. But there's an op going on in X right now of posting, you know, Christ is King, where you have, sadly, a lot of non-believers who act like they are, you know, like Posobiec, for example, who's a theosophist. He's under Stephen K. Bannon, you know, Council for National Policy member Stephen K. Bannon. And Bannon acts like he LARPs as a Catholic. Posobiec LARPs as a Catholic. But Bannon, we know, if you studied him, he's a chaos magician. He studied theosophy when he was in the Navy. He actually tells a story about him getting off when he was serving in the Navy off a boat in Europe and walking into a theosophical bookstore and buying a whole bunch of theosophical books. You know, so the man, you know, he talks with a lot of Christianese, but he's anything but. His life shows it, what he confesses shows it, what he truly believes shows it. And same with Posobiec. So when Posobiec, you know, on that day, on Good Friday, posted the total victory of Satan will commence. Now, maybe he meant to say total victory over Satan will commence. However, he has a blue check mark on X. He could have changed this post for days.
Absolutely.
But he didn't. He didn't. So what am I supposed to say about that? You know? So to me, it seems like the mask was coming off. This is what that's who he truly serves.
I think so. And I think the mask is coming off a lot of people right now in the movement. And, you know, I've been critical of a lot. I don't try to go after people as much as just the things that they say. But, you know, there's a lot of these big influencers that, well, and, you know, I've mentioned it before, but when you trace a lot of these people back, there's handlers. And there's, you know, there's a whole bunch of camps. There's like the Flynn camp, which is the Juan camp. And then there's the Sasha Stone camp that has people like the Patriot Street Fighter and, you know, all that. And Michael Jaco and stuff like that in it. And, you know, it's time that these people really start to get recognized for who they are.
Yes, very much so. You know, I've followed the Patriot Street Fighter Scott McCray for a very long time, and he's very much, you know, he's a new ager. You know, we should pray for him that he comes to the truth, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But, you know, he's talked about scalping people. He's talked about beheading people. He's pretty much said, you either with the Great Awakening or you're not, right? And if you're not, well, you're going to get beheaded. And I don't necessarily think he's completely talking about the elite. You know, I mean, is it the way he puts it? Either with us or against us. You know?
He even said in that clip, pastors need to put down their Bibles and pick up their muskets.
Yes, or you have Flynn saying pastors need to put down their Bibles and pick up their constitutions.
Yeah, what does that tell you? And now he's put out this big movie where he's trying to elevate himself because you know it's going to be a puff piece on him, right?
Oh, 1,000%. Yes, I actually am excited to see it just because I have to know what's in it. You know, I mean, you can even go to the merging of Christian nationalism and Christianity, right? The return of Christendom with, you know, Trump's and Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA Bible, right? And, you know, I wanted to get your opinion. Where do you stand on, you know, Bible commentaries or people writing notes in Bibles or people even signing Bibles? Like, where do you stand on those, Jeff?
What do you think? There's a lot of good books that are Bible commentaries. There's certainly a lot of really bad ones, like, you know, Scofield and stuff like that, which you'd stay away from. If putting in a signature in a Bible, I think is wrong. It's blasphemous in many ways. And looking into this Lean Greenwood a little bit, and thanks to some of the people on our chat channels and that posted it. But, you know, he goes way back, this guy. The song is old. It's not new. A lot of people think it's a new song. It's not. It goes way back. And, you know, he's been in the company of George H.W. Bush, then George W. Bush. He comes from the Bush camp. But there's a video of him singing 1,000 Points of Light in front of George Herbert Bush at Epcot Center.
Wow, I missed that. That's huge.
Oh, yeah. You Google it. It'll come up. 1,000 Points of Light, Lee Greenwood. It'll come up. And literally, they're giving the New Age theosophy in the song. And there's fireworks and everything else. And it's treated as patriotic. And you see in the video clips, you know, George Herbert Bush, they're just smiling with his evil New World Order grin. So, yeah.
That sums it up. No, I mean, that just sums it up, doesn't it? I mean, I agree with Mr. Enigma. I don't think there's an issue with people highlighting passages or writing notes. I have a Bible, both my father and my uncle who've passed away. I have a Bible from each of them full of, you know, their notes and their prayers and stuff like that and everything. So I don't have an issue with that. I do think it's blasphemous to sign a Bible, though. And the reason why I bring that up is because Lee Greenwood, in an interview, says that he knows Trump's a Christian, not because of what he professes with his mouth, not about, how he lives his life. No. He knows Trump's a Christian, Jeff, because Trump signed his Bible. And yes, he literally said that.
I did catch that. But you know what? It's funny when you go back and someone had posted the clip. There's a person in our audience who really does not like Trump. And again, you know, all the signs are there that, you know, he's part of the plan. And I've stated publicly hundreds of times now that I think when you read the plan from the externalization of the hierarchy, it talks about this time of the forerunner. I believe that. And, you know, is there signs he could become the Antichrist? Yeah, there's certainly signs that could be true as well. But at the same time, I'm of the opinion that we have to let these things play out. And, you know, there's people who can say, and I'm not saying I agree with it, but there's people who could say, well, you know, his apartment was all like a dedication to Apollyon and stuff like that in New York City because he was infiltrating. He was becoming friends. He was getting set up to do this role. Okay, that's possible. And, you know, and then we hear him, you know, the 8 years ago saying, well, I've never actually confessed my sins because I don't think I have to, you know, and that was blasphemous, obviously. But now he's publicly, and, you know, for the last 6 months in particular, really been saying God's in control and stuff like that. And we can debate till the cows come home or till the red heifers are sacrificed that, you know, whether he means it or not, only God knows his heart and only God can do things. Is it possible that, you know, he could be coming in, bringing in the new world currency, bringing this dark to light and stuff like that? I think that's probably, from the information I've seen, the best, most likely scenario that is going to happen. But could it be that God's going to flip the script on this thing and bring us a great time of prosperity? Right? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we should trust on God. I don't know. I would argue that I think that the time of prosperity probably plays into what they talk about as far as the quantum financial reset with the mark of the beast tied into it.
I agree. I'm going to bribe you.
Yes, I do believe it's highly likely that Trump is the Antichrist, but I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, and I'm not saying 100% that I know for sure. You know, I'm not ready to say that yet. There is also a possibility where he could be built up to be like the Antichrist, and there could be, you know, a false apocalypse before the real one too as well. I don't know. And there's a possibility that he isn't, and there's a possibility that we have you know, more presidents after him. He comes back in the office and he really doesn't do very much, like he didn't do very much during 2016, roughly to 2020. However, he did bring in Operation Warp Speed and Operation Tiberius Kirk through Palantir. So, you know, he is the vaccine president and still doubles down on the vaccine to this day, right? So that, you know, that was a defining moment of his presidency that was a very strong net negative, you know, and he still has definitely not.
But there's also, you know, people have leaked documents, and documents can be created. So I'm not going to say that they're verified or anything like that. But the original vaccine apparently was hydroxychloroquine. And right now there's a video going viral of him saying, you know, go get hydroxychloroquine. Don't go on the ventilator. So he's saying all these things while he was president. And, you know, and then the vaccine was delayed purposefully until he was out of office and then put out there under Joe Biden. So, you know, people can play both sides. And the thing is, we just have to, we'll have to wait and find out. And we won't know who the Antichrist is truly until the abomination of desolation, you know. But when we look at the circumstances right now, excuse me, you've got the red heifers, you've got the brink of World War III, you've got the attacks on Jerusalem that are pending, you know, they've happened already and probably by, you know, their own hand. But it's all about the temple dome going down. And it seems that all the signs are there right now that we are going into the tribulation, if it hasn't already started. And then you look at the, you know, the all the album covers and that from Beyonce, who's a high witch, you know, basically showing the four horsemen, predicting, you know, all these things coming out. But then, you know, you can take, if you take back, because we see all these signs and we should know the seasons and not a generation will pass when, you know, the people are gathered back in Israel. But what is a generation? Is it 40 years? Is it 70 years? Is it 120 years? And maybe all this stuff is happening because the devil is trying to bring it on. And maybe God says, no, we're going to wait a little bit.
I mean, possibly, yes. You know, I guess the close as far as Operation Warp Speed, Operation Tiberius Kirk, which is something that I've, you know, studied extensively, is that, you know, Jared Kushner was, you know, who's Trump's son-in-law, was a major part of Operation Warp Speed. He was kind of putting together the combination of military with Big Pharma. He was combining, and you look and see who he was ahead of. He was head of mostly the military, but there were some Big Pharma representatives reporting to him. But it was kind of like the combination of the military industrial complex and Big Pharma together. And, you know, Peter Thiel, who was a financier of Trump, you know, he through Palantir, through Operation Tiberius Kirk, which is a part of Operation Warp Speed, there, anybody who tested positive for COVID-19 in a clinical setting and anybody who got the jabs, they've got their past, present, and future medical history for 10 years, went into a massive database. Now, they claim that the information is anonymized and that they take your name out of it and any relevant information that would identify you out, and they just assign you a number. And it's kind of like experimentalism where they're just trying to track exactly what happens, right? Which maybe, but I don't necessarily think that's necessarily true. I don't trust them to anonymize the information, and why do they need it anyway? So there's an issue in of itself. Now, some people say, well, Trump never mandated the vaccine. Fine, but people still took it and people still got sick, and he did lock us down for 45 days.
And he did endorse it as well, even after. You know?
Yes. So, I mean, it depends on how much you want to give him plausible deniability and wash your hands with Trump's involvement or his administration's involvement, which I would argue was he was in on it. And, you know, he still hasn't, you know, apologized. Even RFK Jr., who I'm not necessarily a fan of, has called him out on that extensively. And let's just forget, I remember the debates, one last thing on this, Jeff, and I'll move on, is I remember the debates between Biden and Trump. And during that time period, Biden was, you know, Biden and Kamala Harris were actually kind of wary of the vaccine. They were pushing, at least this was the narrative. They were pushing that we can't trust the vaccine per se because it happened under the Trump administration. Okay. And so
And then, you know, Trump was actually, he literally said, what, you don't trust Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer. He said that to Biden during the debate. Okay. And so, you know, it's my belief that Trump was elected president. And I think that most presidents are put in. And ultimately, you know, it's up to God who becomes the leader of the country. But we would have never accepted the pandemic, the COVID lockdown or the vaccines under a Hillary Clinton administration. Just would not happen. But under Trump, it was allowed because a lot of the populace was disarmed due to believing in Trump and trusting the plan, right? And right. So that did happen. Then to pivot to get the Great Reset COVID lockdown, Biden had to have been put in office for that part to happen, right? Because if Trump would have won again, then you would have had majority of the Democrats actually being against the vaccine because of the narrative that was being put forth in the debates by Biden and Harris that they couldn't trust it. And actually, a lot of liberals were saying that on Twitter beforehand that they wouldn't trust the vaccine because the Trump administration was the ones who had brought together Operation Warp Speed. That changed once Biden got elected as president and the narrative shifted, right? And then we were forced to wear our masks and social distancing and blah, 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 get the vaccine, right? So the narrative changed there, right? So Biden had to be put into power for that to happen. It wouldn't have happened under Trump. I think that instead, it actually would have been conservatives. They would have, because Alex Jones and Mike Adams were pushing that the Trump vaccine was safe. The Trump vaccine was safe. It's safe, okay? And it wasn't. And that would have been the narrative is you would have had actually conservatives pushing to get the vaccine because it's safe. That's the route that it would have likely gone then. Now, not everybody would have, obviously, because people would have not trusted Big...
Oh, you cut out there for a second, John. People would not have trusted Big Pharma, I believe, was about what you were about to say. Oh, there you are. You're back.
Yeah, people wouldn't have trusted Big Pharma. And maybe some people would not have took the vaccines who were conservatives or who were Christians, obviously, even if Trump was reelected president and was pushing it that it was safe. And then as far as hydroxychloroquine is concerned, I never recommended it for COVID. And I am a Christian natural health practitioner. I never did because of the risk of hydroxychloroquine and quinism. Which is very well known that it can cause psychosis and mental disorders. And so, you know, if it is necessarily need to be used as an antiparasitical drug, I'd argue there's better things to treat lupus. Then, you know, it's fine. But using it for a long period of time or even prophylactically or even a high doses can cause quinism, which is a form of psychosis. It has issues. It's well known. There's a quinism foundation that spoke out against the use of hydroxychloroquine for COVID because of that. And there is, I guess, one final thing to that is military that have to use it prophylactically when they go overseas. There, you know, and then you have, sadly, due to PTSD and trauma, Americans, soldiers coming back here to the United States of America. I live near Fort Bragg, so it happens once or twice every few years that you have a murder-suicide or, you know, tragic events happening in the news here, that drugs like hydroxychloroquine and fluoroquinolones like levofloxacin, which is, you know, bad for the mitochondria, has been, you know, can push further PTSD and depression and suicidal thoughts. So, you know, it's when did we start heavily trusting Big Pharma? And look, I'm not against emergency medicine, obviously. You know, I'm not totally against conventional medicine. And that if I get in a car accident or, God forbid, something severe happens to me, obviously it's there to stabilize. And if surgery is necessary, absolutely, repair, right? Like, I'm not completely against it. I'm not completely against modern medicine. However, though, for diagnostic works and cancer and... you know, autoimmune conditions and stuff like that, it's not always the best, you know.
A lot of people in the audience, including myself, were doing the homemade version where you get the grapefruit and the lemon and you boil the peels and stuff like that. And many people said it was effective and certainly no side effects with that. I can't speak mm-hmm. to the pharmaceutical version. But that brings up something else that I should ask you about because you are knowledgeable about this. What about ivermectin? Because I think there's another side to that as well.
Someone mentioned quercetin in the chat. The lemon pill and the grapefruit pill would have had a good concentration of quercetin as well, too. And so it could have just been the quercetin that was actually helping people as a zinc ionophore, keeping them from getting sick. Also, quercetin is a very good antihistamine as well, too. But you got to be careful with quercetin in that for some people with hypothyroidism or a poor functioning thyroid, it could make it worse. So you just had this one of the side effects of taking quercetin frequently. But you asked about ivermectin. It works well as an antiparasitical drug. It may work well against cancer. However, I would consider it to be a form of chemotherapy because what ivermectin does is it kind of messes with the voltage gated channels of cells, right? So it's less toxic to humans and like kind of like our pets that we would give ivermectin to than it is to like parasites, right? So it kind of like paralyzes parasites so that your immune system can kill them or they can be eliminated through your digestive system. They can kind of like detach from the wall of the intestines and be passed. And so there are side effects with ivermectin. It's not, you know, there's no medication. There's not even most supplements that you take. They're not without side effects for certain people, right? But however, you know, the ivermectin, as far as COVID, yeah, I could see some benefit. I'm not necessarily against it. I know there are some people like Dr. Scott Johnson who, you know, kind of caution that ivermectin is complete poison. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but it does have some efficacy against COVID that I could see. And of course, you know, with parasites, you know, there are natural antiparasiticals that could be used like wormwood or black walnut hulls that contain jugalone. But yeah, I mean, I'm not totally against ivermectin like I was with hydroxychloroquine.
And I just looking at the chat and Sweet Southern Girly put in, I seem to recall that the people that developed HCQ were killed. So I'm not sure about the people who developed it, but the major distributor was a couple. They were in Toronto. So I remember the story well. And right at the beginning of the outbreak, they were Clinton somehow.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
When you get in front of big money, you're putting your life out there. That's for sure. One other thing I wanted to bring up with you, John, and this is going to be just, you know, speculation, I suppose. But people who have taken the jab, I am noticing just in my personal circles that their personalities are changing. And maybe I'm making this up. Like maybe I'm seeing things, I'm trying to convince myself. But I'm telling you, I think that their personalities are changing. There's something going on. And if their DNA is being edited and stuff, and you know, there's people out there saying, look, they're gonna, you know, they're becoming reptilians. And in this world and what's going on right now, I don't think anything is too far-fetched.
I mean, I thought about this for a very long time. There were a lot of people that were saying that the Vax was the mark of the beast, right? I disagree with that. I think the mark of the beast is something that you have
precursor,
to
really know. Precursor, trial run.
Precursor, trial run, yes. The actual mark of the beast, no. And there was, you know, there are some Christians who still, that kind of push that narrative, seen Dr. June Knight go back and forth on it. I disagree with her with that, obviously. I don't think that it is. Now, the mRNA, as far as changing the expression of your DNA, yeah, it definitely can, even though they claim that it does not. Now, I don't think that changes you. I don't think there's anything that they can do. And I could be wrong about this, but this is the way I look at it biblically. I don't think there's anything they can do that can change us from being image bearers of God, right? Like, I don't think that there's anything that they can do to corrupt us. Because I see a lot of New Agers. I see many New Agers talk about that. We know the last Q post was talking about protecting your DNA so that you can ascend, right? That was the very last Q post. So I just don't think, you know, like the people who got the jabs, I don't think it changed them in that they're no longer image bearers of God. I don't think, obviously, they can still be born again. They can still, you know,
yes,
become saved and believe Jesus Christ is the way, the only way, the truth, and the life, the Messiah. But I do think it did change kind of how certain genes may have been expressed within them. And so in doing so, we don't know how long that occurs. You know, they claim it's only a few weeks. I think it's probably longer than that. We know that it can cause blood clots, right? It can clot the blood. There's issues because they claimed it, you know, where they gave it in the muscle, that it didn't get into the cardiovascular system. We know that's not true. So, you know, based off of the results in the studies that we have now, right? So we really don't know how long it would affect, you know, a person's DNA, how long the mRNA would affect them.
Well, we know it based on their immunity system. And if your body had any weaknesses, it seems that those were exploited.
Yes, through what they call antibody-dependent enhancement, which they're calling VADES, right? Vaccine-acquired immune deficiency syndrome. So it would, if they do release some new virus, which I think they likely will, I'm looking at some sort of norovirus, some sort of gastrointestinal virus, because Palantir is monitoring with the United States CDC two things in the water supply. They're monitoring the spike protein still to this day. They still have that contract. They're still monitoring it in major waterways in the United States of America. And they're monitoring wild type 2 polio, which is technically an enterovirus. So why are they monitoring wild type 2 polio, right? The vaccine-derived polio, right? That's awfully odd. But they are. Their Palantir is monitoring that in the major cities' waterways with the CDC. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, the vaccine, could it have damaged people's brains so that their personality changes to some degree? Yeah, it's very possible. If not impossible, it's plausible.
Well, just with all the mercury and stuff like that in it, it's got to have some effect.
Yes, very much so. I mean, look at the non-native EMF that we're bombarded with throughout our daily lives, living in a suit of non-native EMF, and you know, all the plasticizers, you know, the volatile organic compounds that we live in our modern world that we're exposed to, you know, and you know, there was times throughout history where people were exposed to, you know, not so much plastic per se, but they were exposed to heavy metals, right? You know, like the lead lining in cups back in the day, you know. And so I would say that we probably live in a more toxic world now than back then, I would assume, because non-native EMF was not really, wasn't, you know, most of the EMF was coming from thunderstorms. So, I mean, I think it's probably a more toxic world now, but I think the jabs definitely added to it, right? It really did affect people's health, very sadly, you know.
Very sadly.
Still is to this day.
So a couple of people posted in chat, and I just want to explain what I meant by a precursor. What I meant by it was the psychological operation. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was a precursor because it was an experiment to see how many people would go along with something being uninformed. And billions of people around the world did, without asking questions, when the you know, the informed consent forms were intentionally left blank when, you know, there was all this, you know, media blackout about opposing points of view and stuff like that. And they really drove home this scenario, this fear. And, you know, listen, I know people who, when they started to open up pubs, you know, oh, I took it because I want to go to a pub, or I took it because I want to go travel, you know, and how many people voluntarily did it out of selfishness and things like that. And I think they were running stats on the operation. And so when I say that it was a precursor, I think it was global elites, and you can't dismiss the fact that it was a global operation, because just about every single country in the world followed the exact same program. And I think they kept stats to see how many people went into it. So that's what I meant by precursor.
I would agree with that.
Mark of the beast in any kind.
I would agree with you there, Jeff, for sure. I would also say that, you know, Mr. Enigma said in the chat that some people had no choice but to get the COVID vaccine. Of course, that's why I don't think it was the mark of the beast. They were literally giving to people without their consent during surgery. We know that to be true. And they were giving it to, you know, people in retirement homes, and they had no choice. So I understand. That's why I don't think it's the mark of the beast, because there are people that were given to that they had no choice at all to get it.
And they didn't bow before the image of it either.
Yeah, of course. And you have mostly New Agers pushing that it was the mark of the beast, right? You had some Christians who I think were mistaken pushing it, obviously. But, you know, I never thought it was. I never thought it was. Precursor, forerunner, yeah. I definitely agree with that.
Well, we are in amazing times. John, I hope you'll come back to the broadcast. I really do. You're a fantastic guest and you're a great friend. How can people find you, John?
Yeah, thank you for having me on, Jeff. I really enjoyed it, brother. Yes, you guys can find me. We've read the documents on Odyssey. I've lost 2 YouTube channels so far. Probably going to lose another one soon. You can find me, Weave_Red on X. You can find me, Weave Read the Documents on Patreon if you want to support my work. Buy me a coffee /Weave Read. I have a Substack as well, too, where I've been writing a book on the Finders operation /cult. I have over 300 pages published on the Finders. I've been studying it for years, been writing the book for years. Hopefully, I'll have it done this year. I mean, you can also, if you want any natural health coaching from a Christian perspective, fixyourgut.com. I've been coaching people for 10 years as a naturopathic health coach. And definitely thank you. God bless everyone who's listening. And, you know, keep your eyes on the Lord, trust in the Lord, you know, cast your burdens and worries onto the Lord. He can definitely take all of them. And, you know, just spend time, you know, worshiping the Lord and loving him, and, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, because in these trying times, if we are entering into the end times, you know, we're going to be put through numerous trials and tribulations, and the, you know, Satan and the world will try to stoke fear and hatred, you know, out of us. And we have to do whatever we can to deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, deny our flesh, and show people the love of God.
Amen. Hey, listen, Mr. Enigma, I normally would take calls, but I actually have to run this morning, so I'm ending the show within the 1 hour time slot, and I really wanted to play a song that is on my heart today. John, can I ask one favor of you? When you release a new show on Odyssey or whatever, because not a lot of people are surfing it, there's not a lot of traffic there. I know, because I'm also on Odyssey, and I get very few views on there. Why don't you I'm inviting you to post your shows on the Right On Radio Digs channel on Telegram. And if I see you post them as well on X, I will forward them as well.
We'll do, of course. We'll do, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And Mr. Enigma, for sure. I'll get you on next week. No problem. Hey, listen, with all this stuff going on, remember, we got our prayer on Saturday at 8 o'clock. PM. And of course, the following Wednesday, the 17th, we're going to have a special prayer session where there's going to be some teaching in the front end. It's not going to be recorded, folks. So if you miss it, you miss it. But those all happen on the Telegram main channel, Right On Radio. Please be there. And I don't normally do this, but I'm going to ask the prayer team. I know some of you will be listening. Some of you are listening right now. The prayer on Saturday, I would really like to be included, prayer against chaos magic that is happening, as I believe that is what's happening right now, and also that the Lord will disrupt their plans and really show a strong sign from heaven that he is our God and that he loves us. And having said that, I'm going to play a song on the way out. It's a song of celebration, so I hope you will stick here for it. And it is a good time to celebrate and to just love on the Lord. So remember to love your God, love you, which, by the way, his name is Jesus Christ. And he's accepting repentant souls at the moment. I have that from a good source on high. Love your God, love your family, love your neighbor as yourself, and
make your worship abundant, even in the streets of your community. And I tell you, that would make a difference. And if you're looking for inspiration, then you can use this song and go out in your community and dance like David danced.
When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David danced. Si el Espíritu de Dios está en mi corazón, yo danzo como David. Dios está en mi corazón, yo danzo como David. Oh, yo danzo, yo danzo, yo danzo como David. Oh, yo danzo, yo danzo como David.
Right on radio.
Right on radio.